Thank you to all the readers. Now at this time, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, all the way from Camden, New Jersey. I give you all Cheryl H. speaking on God's
I'm an addict, and my name is Cheryl. Hi, family, and through God's grace and His mercy, I was blessed to wake up this morning, and with that blessing, I got another day clean, and I need to tell you that I'm grateful. You know, I want to thank the convention committee for taking a risk to ask an addict like me to share her experience, strength, and hope. This is nothing that I take literally, like it's a job. You know, I'm gonna give you what I got on, not unique. And so when I first got the topic, you know, I wanted to say, that doesn't apply to me. You know, and thank God for sponsorship, sponsees, sister friends, brother friends, and the NA family. You know, I'm real grateful. On September the 17th, we will celebrate 18 years. We will do that as long as I live. And, you know, I want to say, like, I'm really filled up. You know, I'm going through a lot of grieving. You know, I buried, like, my aunt, my best friend, my godson, and my grandmother all in like 90 days, the last 90 days. Then two of my other good friends lost a mother and a father. You know, so I've been in a place where I ain't really been talking to a whole lot of people. I ain't been making a whole lot of meetings. I just been kind of like caught up, you know, and my daughter lives in Virginia, and last month I was like overwhelmed, and I left and went to Virginia, left everything, the bills included, and just bounced. And I stayed for like 3 weeks to try to like get a clear head. And so I came back feeling better. And, you know, I know that my sister is in my heart, you know, and, I just gotta get better with it, you know, and I know time takes time. You know, we had almost 40 years of friendship. And I'm talking about at least for the last 15 years, I talk to her every day, at least 5 to 6 times a week. And like now, not being able to, you know, call. And back in 2000 and 1999, I buried my mother and father 4.5 months apart. And so I came. And you people told me that if you need to seek outside help, you need to go get it. And I ended up going on medication, and I didn't want to do that this time. So I'm trying to, like, open up and do something different. You know, but, like, I came around here September the 17th, 1993. I made my first meeting on a Wednesday night coming out of a rehab. They told me in rehab that I would be back. And I did go back with a year clean, you know, because they was taking bets that I wasn't going to stay clean. So, you know, when I got here, I was very angry. I was very unapproachable. I wasn't going to let you help me. I definitely wasn't asking the women for no help. The girls in my area, in my home group, was happy, joyous, and free, and they was not dealing with me. I always say thank God for the brothers who just wanted to see a sister get another day clean. You know, but my story is, I heard this guy share, and I saw him, and I liked what he said, and I liked the way he looked, and I used a whole lot of old behaviors to get his attention. And I'll say the first 5 years, I made the excuse that he just wasn't ready for what I was ready for, allowing him to just do him. And then the next 7 years, it was like, no, we ain't playing them games no more. And like, I thought I was getting married, and he called me on the telephone and quit me after 12 years. on the phone. Now, we 5 years down the line, and I'm wondering why I can't move forward. I'm wondering why every time I think about trying to move forward, you know, his name and his spirit comes up in my spirit. And I'm just really getting in touch with the fact is that I really have a resentment. I really feel like all that I put into that relationship, you owe me to at least tell me in my face. And so I made a phone call a couple weeks ago and called him. And my intentions was to tell him that, you know. And after I called, I just said, it really ain't that heavy. I said, listen, I made a mistake. I hit your number by accident. I'll talk to you later. And hung up the phone, you know. Because it ain't his job to free me from that. And even if he come and say he's sorry, am I still going to be free? Am I going to be like my girlfriends? They all got husbands. I want to know what. Where's mine? When's he coming? When you going to be ready for him? All that. You know, God's going to send him to you in God's time. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about now loneliness done set in. And don't get it twisted. I am not advertising. I don't want none of y'all in this meeting. I'm just waiting for my turn, right? Now I'm saying, my friends is breaking up, moving on, and I'd be grateful, right? I'm so glad I'm alone. When they call me with, you know, that dotty dotty, oh, thank God I'm free. But there's another part of me, I need to tell y'all that physically I'm sick, and I suffer with a couple illnesses that there's no cures for. And I take a lot of medication, and a lot of days my disease tells me you ain't got nobody because nobody want to take care of you. You understand? Like, that's when I feel unique. That's when I wonder, is the program really working in my life like it's working in hers or like yours? I don't want to look at the fact some days that I wake up every morning free, drug free. Not drug proof, but drug free. I wake up like that. Some days I don't want to see that. Some days that ain't important. You understand what I'm saying? Some days I want to know something else. But I just keep coming back and more will be revealed and I'm in touch with that. You know. Let me talk about like some stuff that's going on right in the here and now. I just lost $1,000 income a month. $1,000 out of my income a month just left. And I'm like, what in the world am I going to do? Now, I had a hustle, and I need to get honest about it. And it wasn't a good hustle. But, like, I was selling pills. And God did for me what I couldn't do for myself with that. Lucky I didn't get a call from the feds. Or a knock on the door, what they did, the manufacturer changed the pills. And you can't sell them no more. Because they ain't working no more for what the active addicts was using it for. So now we still stuck. $1,000 going and no hustle. I'm like, what the am I going to do? Live alone. You know, bills got to be paid. Now I want to take my girlfriend's inventory. I have a friend that won't get a place. And she moves from friend to friend, or kids to friends, or whatever. I said, well, won't she go get it? She's 53 years old. We ain't no young girls. I'm trying to find somebody to move into. I got another girlfriend. She says she's going to rent rooms. I ain't comfortable with that. My place ain't big enough for no rooms. So what you going to do, Cheryl? How's it going to work for you? Where's the place coming from? I'm telling you, bills stacked up that high. I got a lifestyle that I was accustomed to living on the income I was receiving, that the income is gone, and I still got the lifestyle. Now what? What are we going to do now? Who's going to help pay the bills? Listen. My daughter calls me last week. She said, Mom, let me give you this confirmation number for your PSE&G bill. That's the gas and electric in Jersey. I said, the bill ain't even came yet. She said, well, it's paid. Not only is that paid, the cable's paid. And I'm like, wow, I paid the rent. So we all right. Even some of the credit cards got paid this month. So I'm going to stay in here now with that. Because if I start next month searching, I'm messed up. I'm talking about jammed up next month. Ain't even got the next month. So, like, I came to Ocean City, Maryland for the convention. I've been coming down here for a lot of years. It started out as a sponsee thing, right? Like our bloodline would all get together and come down, and we would spend the weekend, and we would meet in the rooms and do all that good Gucci stuff. And as time went on, you know, lifestyles change and people change. And, you know, it ended up me and this couple, my sponsee, her sponsee, and we brought a newcomer every year. Well, this year, it's usually four of us in the room. We split the thing, you know, all the way down the middle. And it works fine. Well, this year it was only two of us in the room. And I just told y'all my situation. And I knew I was coming to Ocean City. I didn't know how I was going to get paid or none of that. How about I get a phone call from a friend of mine that has a home down here and says, hey, I'll come to the convention too. And she ain't even an addict. She came to a convention down here a couple years ago and heard the band's quick speaker, and she been jammed, blessed ever since. She love addicts now. She love addicts. She said she'll never use the word crackhead whore again in life. I'm talking about support now. I don't got to worry about paying for the weekend. Let's go food shopping. Let's go to the house and have fun. So I was blessed to be able to come, to be able to enjoy this convention, to be able to fellowship with some people that I love. I want to thank my support group who is in this room tonight. Like, no matter what, and I ain't the easiest chick to get along with. I got a real effed up attitude on every given day. I want what I want when I want it. I don't do well with no. Don't tell me no. Can you give me a ride? No, I can't do it. Oh, shh. Who she thinks she is now? Because she got a car. She can't give me a ride. All that all that stuff. It don't matter how long you've been here. You got to keep coming back. Every day a new girl wake up in my life. Who's you going to be today? You going to be Susie Homemaker? Susie Dressmaker? Or just Susie? It don't matter, you know. I just don't use. You know what I mean? A few years back I had an intervention. My friends got together and came to my house. I was on this medication, and I'm telling you, I got in my sponsee brand new car. She bought her car, picked me up. I rode around the block, came back. 2 days later, I'm talking to her, and she said something about her car. I was like, when did you get a new car? She was like, sponsee was in the car. I said, I was. So I was taking a medication that caused a lot of absent-mindedness. And it mixed with some of the other stuff I was taking caused me to not. And so my friends got together, and I thought I was going to a spiritual women's meeting, or, you know, I'm in the committee, and we put on a retreat every year, so I thought it was the meeting. And it was a meeting, and guess what? It was for me. William, they were sitting around the table like, so I said, what's going on? He said, listen, we're concerned about you. We don't want to go to the group. We don't want to go and talk about you to the people on the other side of the room. We brought it to you. Talking about people loving me enough to tell me the truth. So they want to know what you got going on and why is you nodding and what you taking and why you need it. And once they found out all the information, it was okay for me to have it. You know what I mean? So we talking about 4 or 5 years down the line. I got some hope to share. I was in the hospital every 6 to 8 weeks for about 6 years straight. I'm talking about I've been in there once this year and only twice last year. We're talking about taking 20 pills a day, and now I'm down to 9. We do recover in all areas. You know, we get better. You know what I mean? But I need to, like, tell y'all how jammed up I am. I couldn't sell them pills no more. I need to bring it back to that for a minute. Because I thought I was different. I thought what I was doing was okay, because the people I was giving them to, they were sick. They didn't have insurance. So they couldn't get it from doctors. So I was the doctor. I was the drugstore, not the doctor, the drugstore. And then I had a real big argument with a family member. You know what I mean? She got amnesia when it was time to pay the bill. She was sick, sending for the medicine. When she got well, she forgot to pay the bill. Price changed and all that. Yeah, it changed. For her, not me. My price was the same. And she threw some fly stuff on me. She said, well, you ain't even supposed to be doing that anyway. Ain't you in that program? Who you think you are? And I can curse. And I'm trying to do good today. I'm really working on trying not to curse as much, but I curse like a sailor. I can put some curse words together. I can say some stuff. My tongue is so vicious, I don't even have to hit you. When I finish with you, you are messed up. And how about, so am I.
Yeah.
How about later on, when it's time to hit the pillow, and the pillow start talking. Anybody have pillow talk? Okay, when it's time to do the 10-step inventory and cut the lights out, thing sits on my pillow and wakes me up. You ain't sleeping tonight? What you sleeping for? You was a royal VI tonight or today or whatever time it was. And so, you know, they say this program lead by attraction rather than promotion, right? And so I'm trying to be an attraction. I want the newcomer to know that, like, with years clean, you still fall short, but you get better. And listen, that talk be like, tch, 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 tch. And then I got to go to the bathroom, come back, tch, 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 tch. Like, oh, my God, can I go to sleep? And then I got to, you know, make demands. And anybody that know me know that I'm sorry, that I don't like that. I never did and probably never will. You know, I want to talk about, like, before I close, my son is in the penitentiary. And the police ran up in my house. And I ain't talk about it to a whole lot of people because I felt like it wasn't a whole lot of people's business. But for whatever the reason, God just done put it on my heart to talk about it. Somebody might need to hear it. The police came to my house, not his house, my house, and found 80 bundles of heroin and 2 guns. And y'all have never seen nobody.